Radio Prague News.
Andrej Babiš says allegations his son was kidnapped are aimed at forcing him out of politics. The Social Democrats say they won't rule out any possible scenario as regards future cooperation with Mr. Babiš. And prosecutors in Prague are to investigate the kidnapping claim. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš says a scandal surrounding his son has been created in order to destroy him and force him out of politics. He made the comment in Italy on Tuesday and said the affair was timed to coincide with his foreign trip and this weekend's anniversary of the start of the Velvet Revolution. Seznam Spravi on Monday carried an interview with Andrej Babiš Jr., in which he said he had been forcibly moved to the Crimea as his father wanted him to disappear out of the way of the corruption investigation. Mr. Babiš says his son is mentally ill and left the Czech Republic voluntarily. The Prime Minister is facing a criminal investigation into allegations he wrongly acquired 50 million crowns in EU subsidies for the Stork's Nest complex near Prague. He says the case is politically motivated. The Social Democrats, who are in government with ANO, called on the latter's leader, Mr. Babiš, to respond to suggestions that his son had been kidnapped. The Social Democrats' leader, Jan Hamáček, said the situation was serious and that his party would not rule out any possible scenario as regards future cooperation with ANO. A group of opposition parties have tabled a motion to have a vote of no confidence in Mr. Babiš's government, and there have also been calls for him to resign. The Supreme State Attorney's Office said on Tuesday it had ordered prosecutors in Prague to investigate suspicions that the son of Prime Minister Babiš may have been kidnapped. Representative of the Supreme State Attorney's Office said such an investigation would have to entail the questioning of Andrej Babiš Jr., who lives in Switzerland. The Prime Minister denies the allegation his son was kidnapped and says his son is mentally ill. The police say they are also looking into claims made in the Seznam Spravi report. According to doctors' reports, both Mr. Babiš's son and his sister suffer from psychiatric problems and are unable to testify in a case in which the PM is accused of wrongly acquiring EU subsidies. The police have broadened an investigation into the Czech Football Association and its former president, Miroslav Pelta, Czech TV reported. The investigation centres on allegations of corruption linked to the allocation of sports subsidies. Czech TV said police are also looking into a fresh suspicion of bribery. Police allege that Mr. Pelta supplied a free Prague Centre apartment to Deputy Minister of Education and Sport, with whom he agreed on the divvying up of sports grants. The ex-FA chief denies any wrongdoing. US-based Czech pianist Tomáš Kačo launched his debut album My Home with a recital at Prague's Convent of St. Agnes on Monday evening. The concert sold out quickly and a second show of the same venue was added to take place on Tuesday. Tomáš Kačo comes from a large Roma family in a small town in Moravia and won a scholarship to the Berklee School of Music in Boston. He now lives in LA. The weather forecast, it should be largely overcast in the Czech Republic on Wednesday with temperatures of up to 10 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs are expected to fall over subsequent days, reaching around 5 degrees Celsius at the beginning of next week. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, opposition parties threaten a no-confidence vote following sensational allegations by the Prime Minister's own son over an ongoing EU subsidy fraud case. A move could be afoot to create a special Prague district for government officials. And we look at the unique history of the Czech Republic's 40,000-kilometer network of hiking trails, some 100 years in the making. All that coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. The investigation into the so-called Stork's Nest affair, in which Prime Minister Andrej Babiš is suspected of EU subsidy fraud, has taken a new twist. The Prime Minister's own son, Andrej Babiš Jr., who lives in Switzerland, told investigative reporters he had been forcibly detained in Crimea by his father's associates during the time of the investigation so that he would not be called as a witness. The news erupted like a bombshell on the Czech political scene, with the opposition parties now threatening to call a vote of no confidence in his government. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
Footage of the Prime Minister's 35-year-old son, Babiš Jr., speaking to journalists in Switzerland, where he now lives, appeared on the Seznam news site late Monday. The investigative reporters on the case said they had spent a year tracking him down. Babiš Jr. told them he was forcibly detained in Crimea by Petr Protopopov, the husband of psychiatrist Dita Protopopova, who had treated him during an earlier stay in a Prague mental health institution. Babiš Jr. said he had been given the option of taking an extended holiday in Crimea or being locked up in a mental home. He said he had later contacted the police with the information. Babiš Jr. also revealed that he had signed some papers but had no idea what he was signing. Neither Dita Protopopova, who ran in the local elections on Ano's ticket, nor her husband were willing to speak to Seznam's reporters. The news caused an uproar on the Czech political scene, with a Prime Minister's coalition partner demanding an explanation and opposition deputies demanding the Prime Minister's resignation and threatening to call a vote of no confidence in his government. The Prime Minister, who is currently in Italy attending an international conference on the situation in Libya, reacted to the news on Facebook, saying that his son was mentally ill and was being treated for his condition, and his daughter suffered from a bipolar disorder, so both had been exempted from the investigation on health grounds. He slammed Seznam's reporters for hounding his family and said the report was a manipulated smear campaign against him. He said the police had investigated the matter of his son's stay in Crimea after his son had contacted them with claims of an abduction and had concluded that the accusation was unjustified. Meanwhile, the Supreme State Attorney's Office has ordered a new investigation into the affair, and the deputies' clubs of parliamentary parties met for emergency consultations over the revelations. The head of the opposition Topo 9 party, Jiří Pospíšil, said the Prime Minister's explanation lacked credibility and called this affair one of the worst scandals to hit the Czech Republic since 1989.
Vyzýváme premiéra Andreje Babiše, aby v zájmu zachování...
In the interest of protecting the good name of the Czech Republic and citizens' trust in the rule of law, we are calling on the Prime Minister to resign. Should he fail to do so, we appeal to his coalition partners, the Social Democrats, for them to walk out of this government.
Ve vládě s hnutím ANO dále nesetrvávali.
The Social Democrats have said they will await the results of the investigation before coming to any decision, as have the Communists, who helped the coalition government win its vote of confidence in the lower house. Meanwhile, some opposition deputies have already said they will try to raise support for a vote of no confidence in the Babiš administration.
Daniela Lazareva reporting. Now, Prime Minister Andrej Babiš's recent tweet reinvigorated discussion about creating a special Prague district for government officials, which he believes would create synergy and save the state money on rent. The Prime Minister's vision is likely to run into obstacles, however, as the future mayor of the capital, Zdeněk Šib, says he is against creating monothematic districts. Tom McEncrow has the story.
A special precinct on the outskirts of Prague, made up of modern office buildings filled with government officials working in synergy. That is the vision of Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, who says he was inspired by Paris's ministerial skyscraper project. He first made his idea public in December 2016, when he suggested moving bureaucrats to an office complex in Letnany. After becoming Prime Minister a year later, Mr. Babiš proposed the area of Bubny Zátory around Prague 7's Holešovice quarter. Many of his ministers supported the idea, listing administrative efficiency and opening up the currently occupied buildings to the public as further reasons for the move. At the time, the man responsible for the areas under consideration spoke out against the proposal. He said that the current historic ministerial palaces, most of which are located in Prague 1's Malostrana, serve their purpose well.
In my opinion, these buildings have to stay this way. To clear them out would turn the entire center into an even greater ghost town. To then build another ghost town, which is empty of people after 4 or 5 in the afternoon, would be a mistake.
Tweeting on Sunday evening, Mr. Babiš let it be known that he still has hopes for his vision becoming a reality. He expressed satisfaction with the Culture Ministry's decision to rule against the auctioning of Chateau Veleslavine, which he wants to trade for real estate for a new government district. This is unlikely to move so smoothly, however. Reacting to Mr. Babiš's tweet on Monday, Prague's future mayor Zdeněk Hřib said he was against creating single-purpose districts.
We want to get the Veleslavin Chateau ideally through a free transfer or via an exchange for another property. However, I am not a proponent of the creation of monothematic districts for government officials. I do not think it is a good idea.
Kateřina Zelingerová is from the Prague Institute of Planning and Development, an organisation that was given the responsibility to come up with a plan for the Bubny-Zátory area earlier in 2018. She says that while the government district area has its advantages in terms of accessibility and state costs reduction, it should also include normal residential areas.
So we believe that the new district should be mixed. So it shouldn't be only governmental buildings, but also residential buildings and administration. So that would mean the mix would never create a ghost town.
According to media reports, the civil servants who occupy the historical buildings in the city centre are not keen to move outside.
Tom McEncrow reporting. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature. The Czech lands have a treasure not known to many visitors, a unique network of hiking trails over 40,000 kilometres or 25,000 miles long. These trails are quite well marked and regularly maintained by members of the Czech Tourist Club. Whereas other countries have various hiking trails, to be sure, the Czech network is systematic, easy to understand, and unified throughout the country. As Vít Bohanka reports, the system was developed over a century.
Od roku 1995.
Tak nějak, no. Oba na stejno, víceméně.
Oba na stejno.
Meet Martin Pessler and Vladimír Maršík. Mr. Pessler is the chairman of the Regional Commission for Tourist Trails. Mr. Maršík is the head of the team that marks out and maintains the trails in and around the town of Havlíčkův Brod. They've been both hiking around the forests and fields of the Vysočina or Highlands region with a brush and a can of paint for more than 20 years. You couldn't wish for better guides if you want to learn something about the Czech hiking trails. We start our short field trip in front of a guidepost in the main square of Havlíčkův Brod.
A vidíme tady hezky seřazené nahoře jsou červené značky nebo je červená značka.
We can see the red mark arrow on top, blue, green and yellow follow downwards. Is there a meaning in that order?
Červené jsou zpravidla nějaké dálkové cesty, které vlastně třeba spojí různé regiony v České republice, vedou třeba údolími.
Yes, the red color is the most important, and that's why it's on top. It's reserved for the long trails that connect different regions of the country, lead down long river valleys or on top of long mountain ridges. The blue trails mostly connect some significant or scenic spots, but only within a certain region. The green is for shorter trails, usually within a given county. And the yellow signs mark shorter trails linked to other more significant and longer trails. But of course, like in every system, there are exceptions. So you can find yellow trails that are 50 kilometers long.
Vladimír Maršík then gives a concrete example of a trail that is marked on this particular guidepost and bears the name of a famous 19th century journalist and writer, Karel Havlíček Borovský. He was born in a small village nearby and later lived in this town. And that's why it's called Havlíčkův Brod.
Když se vezmeme tu červenou, tak tam je zároveň i název ty turistické trasy, protože my máme některé trasy taky pojmenované.
If you take the red sign, you can see that it has a special name, Trail of Karel Havlíček Borovský. We give some of the trails names. This one leads for over 40 kilometers or 25 miles from the town of Hlinsko and ends right here. Then you can see a different sort of mark. That is a local educational trail dedicated to painter, poet and writer Bohuslav Reinek. He was born in the nearby village of Petrkov in the late 19th century and later lived there with his French wife. The trail will lead you to his favorite places, There are 5 stops where you can read about his life and even excerpts from his poems. The trail ends at his grave at the Svatý Kříž village cemetery.
Perhaps I should explain that the Czech word turista or turist is used interchangeably with a hiker. So the Czech Tourist Club encourages you not only to hike but also learn something, be it about history, literature, geology, plants and animals. In order to be easily followed, the trail marks, of course, must be very visible, and there are strict rules about their placement, size and distances from one mark to another. In the forests, you will find them most often on the trees. In the mountains, on large boulders. In the cities, they will be painted on walls or traffic signposts. If needed, they have special posts of their own.
Co se týče výšky, tak by měla být ve výšce očí dospělého člověka.
They should be placed approximately at eye level, usually somewhere between 150 and 170 centimeters from the ground. They have to have specific size, 10 centimeters high, 10 centimeters wide. There are always 2 very white bands for good visibility. In between them is the specific color band. We call it the lead color.
Druhá věc je velice důležité, aby značit jakoukoliv křižovatku, která by sváděla turistu, že by odbočil z té cesty.
Secondly, it is very important to carefully mark any crossroads or other places that could mislead the hiker. So, for example, here on the corner, you see what we call a leading sign, and then there is another within 10 meters so that you know which direction to take. That's a confirmation sign. You must not forget that tourists are hiking not only from Havlíčkův Brod, but also to Havlíčkův Brod. So it must be carefully marked in both directions.
Now all this may sound a bit silly. Of course that the signs have to be placed so that you can see from one to another, or at least in such a way that you do not have doubts that you are following the right path or route. But try hiking in some other countries. You can often find out that the person who marked out a trail probably knew it quite well, but didn't understand that someone who is trying to follow it for the first time and doesn't know the area needs much more visible and frequent signage. Martin Pessler points out that crucial for the maintenance of the trail system is support of the local and national authorities. Hikers also need cooperation of owners of the forests, which can be private, municipal or state.
Dávají nám jednak finance, takže nějaké dotace na značení. A potom oni také mají takový program.
The authorities provide some money subsidies for marking of the trails. And then there's a special program for the forest or land owners who want to help. They also get some subsidies for building supporting infrastructure. That means usually small wooden shelters with tables, benches and litter bins, where tourists can take a rest and have a snack before they walk on.
All in all, the network now has over 40,000 kilometers of trail, but it's still growing.
Zrovna letos jsme v Havlíčkově Brodě vyznačili novou trasu, která ještě ani na náměstí nebyla, protože směrovky teprve.
Only this year we marked a new trail here in Havlíčkův Brod. It is some 23 kilometers long, and there is another new shorter green trail of about 14 kilometers.
Směrem k Radňovu, a tam má asi 14 kilometrů.
That's Vladimír Maršík. I wish all the best to these 2, shall I say, trailblazers of the Highlands and head to Prague, where the Czech Tourist Club has its headquarters. It is a truly venerable institution, founded in 1888 by prominent Czech patriots around famous philanthropist and collector Vojtěch Náprstek. Today, the Deputy Secretary General is Mojmír Nováček.
Po založení měl klub několik maximálně stovek členů, ale ti brzy poznali, že rozvoj cestovního ruchu je velice důležitý nejenom v Praze, kde klub vznikl, ale
the club had only a few hundred members at first, but they very soon recognized the importance of developing the hiking movement. It was important to draw people from Prague and other cities out into the Czech countryside and mountains. They thought the best way to do that was to create well-marked trails that would usually have some patriotic and historical value. They designated 5 of them immediately, and the first was marked already in 1889 from the village of Štěchovice to the St. John's Rapids on the Vltava River. The next trail led from Prague to Karlstein Castle.
Například byla z Prahy na Karlštejn.
So the basic principles of the signage were worked out right from the start. Its authors realized how important it was that the marks would be clearly visible, instantly recognizable, and therefore unified in the whole country. The key to success was consistency and careful upkeep of the system.
No tak až do první světové války byla používána jenom červená barva a ta značka vypadala tehdy trošku jinak.
Until World War I, trails were only marked in red and the signs looked slightly different than they do today. It was a red square, 15 by 15 centimeters, with two narrow white bands, one above, one below. After the First World War in newly independent Czechoslovakia, the tourist club introduced the four colors we use to this day, red, blue, green, and yellow. And the signs changed into the shape we know today, two white bands and the color band in the middle.
Stejně široké, přičemž ten prostřední je ten barevný.
The Czech network of hiking trails is definitely very popular with us Czechs. But is it justified to think that it is the best in the world? This crucial question needs to be answered by someone of real authority, such as the president of the Czech Tourist Club himself, Vratislav Chvátal.
Tak jistě těch systémů existuje víc a přesně jak jste řekl, jako hrdě říkat, že ten náš je ten jediný nejlepší, by asi bylo příliš samolibé. Jo?
Of course, there are many other systems and it would probably be conceited of me to say that we have the best system in the world. What we know for sure is that not just Czech hikers, but tourists from many other countries like it and praise it. We also know that our members hike in many other countries all over the world and can compare the systems, and they unequivocally rate our system better. What makes it so easy to use is not just the marks themselves, but also the information on the guideposts. You can always find the main points of the trail and the distance to them, from the most distant to the closest. It might seem trivial, but it is very important that you instantly know where you are heading, and how far it is. In other countries, you very often need a map, too, to find this information. You can see this in neighboring Austria. They do not use colors, but numbers. So if you come to a crossroads, you need a map to choose the right trail.
Směry se stejnou barvou značení a musíte zvolit tu správnou.
There is nothing like a nice long hike in the forests and fields, especially in spring and summer when the nature in Bohemia, Moravia and Silesia is most lively. But even now, in late fall and winter, the Czech landscape offers great walks. Only about 1,400 of the members of the Czech Tourist Club are actually willing to devote their own free time as volunteers and work on the maintenance of the hiking trails. They do get a little money, and their travel costs are reimbursed, but it is a rather symbolic reward. I think they do a great job. And if you wanted to try the trails yourselves, don't hesitate. Many of them start or go through Prague, Brno, or other cities and towns you might be visiting. You can find and buy special maps not only in tourist information centers, but also many stationary kiosks or even petrol or gas stations. Plus, there are special map apps that you can download, no matter whether you have an Android smartphone or iPhone. Just search for Czech, Tourist and Maps. For Radio Prague, Vít Bohanka.
And that edition of Travel Tip with Vít Bohanka also brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's content, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. You can also contact us on Facebook or via Twitter. We'd be glad to hear from you. I'm Brian Kennedy saying thanks for listening and goodbye for now.